All right, Colleen, we are ready to go.
Okay. Good evening, everyone. My name is Colleen Sampson, and on behalf of the North Dakota 40 Days for Life Committee, we would like to welcome all of you and thank you for joining us for our first ever North Dakota 40 Days for Life teleconference call. Let me begin by introducing David B. Wright, the National Director for the 40 Days for Life campaign. David, along with his wife, Margaret, and children, Claire and Patrick, live in the Washington, D.C. area. He travels extensively promoting this campaign throughout the nation and has visited our state several times, bringing much encouragement, promotion, and training to our team. David will be the moderator for the call tonight. It is a privilege and an honor not only to work with David, but to be able to bring to you a group of godly men and women who work tirelessly, sacrificing their lives, promoting the culture of life in our land. David, I'll turn it over to you.
Thank you so much, Colleen. And for those few people in the state of North Dakota who don't know who Colleen Sampson is, Colleen is the state director of 40 Days for Life. She is one of my many heroes in your state, and you're going to hear more from her in a little bit about 40 Days for Life, specifically in North Dakota. What I wanted to do is just give you a really brief overview of what is going to happen on this conference call and webcast tonight. And for those who are listening by telephone, we have muted all the lines so you can make as much noise as you want on your end. It will not disrupt the call. If you do, for any reason, need to get off and come back on, you can hang up the phone and then call back in as needed. And also, this entire event is being recorded, so you can go back and listen to it later. And also, those who are listening by the webcast through streaming audio on the web, welcome. We're so excited you're here, and we're glad that God has given us this gift of technology that opens this line of communication to you. And if for any reason during the call you hear occasional 1 or 2 second delay, that is totally normal for streaming audio on the web. Tonight's call is about one very specific thing, and that is the 40 Days for Life campaign that will be happening in the fall of 2008 across the state of North Dakota. And we felt so strongly about what is happening and the potential of the campaign in the state of North Dakota that we have gathered many national pro-life leaders as well as state leaders across North Dakota to come together and share with you the excitement of what is happening, the specifics of what is happening, and how you can be a part. You will be hearing from a couple of people tonight by recorded message because they had commitments where they could not be on the live call with us, and those people are Father Frank Pavone, the National Director of Priests for Life, as well as Bishop Samuel Aquila of the Diocese of Fargo. You will be hearing live from Dave Mata, pastor at Calvary United Methodist Church. You'll be hearing from Sean Carney, who is the director of the Coalition for Life, a Texas-based group that launched the 40 Days for Life back in 2004. Sean is also on our national team as our director of outreach for 40 Days for Life. You will hear from Colleen Sampson, who welcomed us and introduced the call. You'll also be hearing from several very respected and influential state leaders in North Dakota, including Tom Fryer from the North Dakota Family Alliance, Yana Mirda from the Concerned Women for America of North Dakota. You'll then also hear from Matt Lockett, who's executive director of a group called Bound for Life that has an impact with pro-life efforts all across the country. And then also, and I'm hoping he is joining us here shortly on the call, we will be hearing from Lou Engel, who is president of The Call. At the end, you also have a closing prayer from Father Charles LaCroix at Shanley High School. So we've got a lot of great people. We've got a lot of information to cover in a short period of time tonight. And so to get started, let's make sure we put this entire call in the proper perspective, and let's start with an opening prayer. And for that, I would like to welcome Dave Mata from Calvary United Methodist Church to open us by taking this entire call to our Lord. Dave?
Thank you, David. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we come to you tonight wanting to be humble, wanting to humble ourselves in prayer and fasting, wanting to seek your face, wanting to turn from our wicked ways. Forgive us, Lord, for being against abortion and not doing anything. Let the church rise up, Lord, Catholics, Protestants together in unity to cry out to you for mercy, to cry out to you on behalf of those who cannot speak for themselves. Father, like the blood of Abel, so much innocent blood cries out for justice here in North Dakota. And so we pray that Luke 18 prayer, and will not God bring about justice for his own chosen ones who cry out to him day and night? And we're asking God for justice as we cry out to you day and night from September 24th to November 2nd. We believe that you will be faithful to your promise. Hear us, Lord. Forgive us, God. Heal our land. And Father, you call us to make requests, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgiving for everyone, for kings and all those in authority, and I want to do that tonight, Lord. Give our leaders here in North Dakota a sense of your presence, holy responsibility, privilege, and fear as they serve the people of North Dakota, knowing that one day they will stand before you, God, and answer for every decision that is made. Lord, we need laws to protect the innocent. Lord, you can change the course of rivers and the hearts of kings, and I pray that you would do that, Lord, right here in what our country thinks as insignificant North Dakota. Pour out your spirit of conviction upon each legislator to do the right thing. Give them courage, conviction, and a firm resolve to reverse Roe versus Wade, beginning now, beginning here in North Dakota, Lord. We're asking, God, that the state of North Dakota be abortion-free. That this clinic in Fargo be shut down. We declare North Dakota as abortion-free in Jesus' name. Father, let there be a recognition of sin, a revelation of the Savior, and a desire to be saved and serve you in the power of the Holy Spirit to the end that you, God, would be loved, that you would be appreciated and glorified. Let righteousness exalt the nation. So I plead your blood, Jesus, over my sins and the sins of my nation, God, end abortion and bring revival to our country. In the name of the Lord Jesus, amen.
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 Dave, thank you so much, and what better way to start than by taking this straight to the Lord, the author of life, the creator of the universe. I wanted to keep in the perspective of the spiritual significance of what we're doing by hearing from another religious leader. And this is a segment that I recorded with Father Frank Pavone, National Director of Priests for Life. And when I talked to Father Frank about this teleconference, he was so excited about it. And he said absolutely he wanted to participate. As he checked into his schedule, he found that he is actually right now in midair on an airplane, so he could not be with us live. And so he made a special point to get in touch with me at an earlier time so that we could record this segment for you. And I'm going to play it for you now to understand what Father Frank has to say about the importance of this time and the importance of what is happening right now in North Dakota.
Well, thank you, David. It's such a joy for me to be on the call tonight. And friends, I only regret that I can't be on this call in person, because I have been in person so many times in North Dakota with those of you who pray at the one remaining abortion mill. I have stood there in knee-deep snow and in many other circumstances. I prayed in front of that mill with the late Bishop Sullivan in the presence of the Blessed Sacrament, and so many initiatives coming out of North Dakota have been very inspiring to me personally and to our work with Priests for Life across denominational lines. This moment in time is your moment in North Dakota to encourage our entire movement nationwide. You know how the Spirit of God is moving, and I encourage you in this effort, and I want you to know that we are going to be doing everything possible through our channels of communication and through our network of clergy through Priests for Life to make this a very successful 40 Days for Life campaign. As I've often shared with the national team of 40 Days for Life, when I first got involved in Priests for Life, people were asking me, what is your goal? What do you want to accomplish? And I said that when the spiritual leaders of the church are fully on fire with the cause of defending the unborn, they will pass that fire along to their people. They will be spiritually strengthened to accept the sacrifices that are necessary to bring about justice for the unborn. And once they are fed in that way in their churches, they will come out of the churches, they will come onto the streets, they will come to the killing centers, and they will literally surround those places for as long as it takes for those killing centers to close. That momentum, that spirit, that level of repentance and readiness to sacrifice is, in my view, very much upon us right now. And 40 Days for Life is one of the expressions of that. I encourage you, I will be out there in North Dakota, and I will be joining heart and hands and mind, our entire pastoral team, with all of you who are doing so many different things in this movement. Let's be united together in a joyful expectation of what the Lord is going to do in Fargo and throughout the state of North Dakota. God bless you, preserve you in perseverance in this cause, and give you the joy of serving Him and the unborn children. Take care.
All right. Well, the next person we're going to hear from is somebody who has been with 40 Days for Life since the very beginning. And he actually was one of the four people that first came up with the idea through prayer of doing a 40 Days for Life back in the fall of 2004, and has watched the entire effort spread around the nation and across the globe, and that is Sean Carney. Sean is the executive director of the Coalition for Life, a pro-life group based in Bryan College Station, Texas. Yes, they did overall survive the onslaught of Hurricane Ike. And Sean is also on the national team for 40 Days for Life. And Sean, what I was hoping is maybe you could help those who are joining the call to get a little perspective on what is 40 Days for Life, where did it come from, what's it made up of, what kind of impact it's had, and from you, a person who has been in North Dakota, standing in front of that last remaining abortion center, why you think this effort is so important to the state of North Dakota.
Well, when you look at what 40 Days has become, you can't help but see what God is doing through this campaign. 40 Days for Life started from none other than the grassroots, and it started in 2004 when myself and David, my wife, and one other person were around that wooden table in College Station simply praying about how we could use the fall to help end abortion in our community. And as we prayed, we looked at 40 Days for obvious reasons of how God uses 40 days throughout Scripture to bring about conversion and repentance in his people. And so we chose a 40-day theme, 40 days of prayer and fasting, 40 days of community outreach, where we hit 25,000 households asking people in our community to pray for an end to abortion, and then, of course, 40 days of a peaceful, nonstop, 24-hour prayer vigil outside of our local Planned Parenthood abortion facility. Well, that campaign, although it was only planned about 2.5 weeks before we launched the first 40 Days for Life, it lit our town on fire for the pro-life movement. We saw 1,000 new people get involved. We saw the door-to-door campaign spread throughout our community, and we saw local abortion numbers drop by 28% as a result of that campaign. And one of the amazing things was how many new people got involved with our efforts just through 40 Days for Life, through the prayer, through the fasting, through the peaceful vigil. And when it was over, we thought the 40 Days for Life was due. We were tired. We had had a love bug infestation in our town, and we were exhausted. And, of course, we were contacted just 2 weeks after our campaign had ended there in College Station by Dallas. A group of people in Dallas who wanted to do a 40 days, they did a 40 days, Green Bay, Wisconsin did a 40 days, and slowly we just started to see over the next 2 years different demographic communities calling us and saying, hey, we heard you guys did this campaign. So not thinking anything of it, I put a little section on our website, the Coalition for Life's website, of, you know, what it was and how to do it. Well, lo and behold, we had a total of 7 communities that had done and completed successfully the 40 Days for Life. So in the spring of 2007, we were once again on the phone, David and I, praying with a small group of people thinking, what if we can launch this nationally and maybe get 25 cities involved? And, of course, last fall when we opened up registrations, when we promoted the campaign, when we launched it nationally, we had about that sign up in the first week. And then in the last few days, additional cities signed up, and we had 89 cities last fall complete the 40 Days for Life in the first nationally coordinated effort, so much that cities across the country were asking, wow, you know, we had heard about it, but we were a little skeptical, and now we want to do a 40 Days. And David and I were once again exhausted in late fall, but due to high demand, 59 cities signed up for the spring 2008 40 Days for Life. And so to date, as we sit here right now on this call, 139 cities in 43 states have completed 40 Days for Life, and we are just in awe of what God has done through this campaign. He has saved over 500 lives that we know of mothers choosing life. We've seen abortion clinic workers question and then leave their jobs. We've seen post-abortive women find healing just through the powerful witness of the vigil. And as Father put earlier, it was so powerful to see so many people take the love and hope of Christ to these sidewalks and see the reaction of that, bringing the truth to the sidewalk, getting out of Jesus' way and letting him do the work. And that's why 40 Days for Life has been so successful. That's why we are obviously ecstatic about 175 cities and 45 states that will join us on September 24th, just here in a week, to launch the third ever national 40 Days for Life. And as I stood out in front of that clinic in Fargo, Fargo, you could see it not only in the eyes of the people in Fargo, but also their faith, their determination. And I went up there excited, but really I didn't know what all was going on in Fargo. And when I got on that plane to leave Fargo, there was no doubt in my mind that North Dakota would be the first abortion-free state in our nation when it was legal but yet unthinkable. And that is why I'm so excited not only to be on this call but to be working with Fargo and helping with the 40 Days for Life across the country, because as we've seen in this campaign from its humble beginnings to its current humble status as well, we've seen that this has been God's campaign, that this has been something he has used to bring truth to so many women, to so many babies, and to so many clinics.
Sean, thank you so much, and I think that helps to put everything into perspective and helps people, despite some of the bad connections we had there on your phone line, I think it still was able to be clear that this is purely God's effort, from the humble beginnings around one table to spreading to this fall 174 cities, as you mentioned, 45 states, truly amazing. And yes, what's happening in North Dakota is right on the forefront of all of that. Now, I want to check, is Lou Engel with us on the phone line? Okay, I just heard from Lou's assistant by text messaging that he is going to be getting on the call with us in just a moment. Had a little bit of trouble, so I think he'll be joining us
David?
Shortly. Yes, is that Lou?
Yeah, I just pushed it off mute. I just got on.
Hey, well, God bless you. Thank you so much for joining us on the call.
Hey,
Lou,
thanks, David.
We have people calling in from every corner of the state of North Dakota who are all excited about September 24th and November 2nd, 40 days of prayer and fasting and holding vigil at the last single remaining abortion facility in the state of North Dakota, and grassroots pro-life outreach. And what I wanted to do, I mean, you were with me and I on the National Mall in Washington, D.C., when your event at the call had more than 70,000 young people praying and fasting for America. You know what's at stake in our nation this fall, this year. And what I wondered is if you could share with all of these faithful people across North Dakota, when our nation is in crisis, and 2008 is obviously a year where our nation is in crisis as we cross the 50 million mark on the number of abortions in our country, as we reach a year where we are getting ready to make major decisions in national elections that can shape the Supreme Court that will have an impact on all of these issues for years to come, as state legislatures are deciding on initiatives that can affect the sanctity of life for better or for worse. And right now is just a very critical time for our nation. And I was wondering if you could share a little bit about what is God's holy prescription in that time of need, and then the importance of prayer and fasting and why you're excited about this upcoming 40 Days for Life in North Dakota.
Well, hey, David, thank you. I'm so encouraged with what's going on with 40 Days for Life. I'm telling David, I'm telling people wherever I go what you guys are doing, 175 cities, and I'm so encouraged with North Dakota with the band, the Breaker Company that's going there. But I believe that fasting and prayer is the link to the supernatural intervention of God that will not come otherwise. He looks for the cry of desperation. When that cry reaches his ear, he'll respond and he'll do things that would surprise us and can turn an election in a moment of time. I think you look at Esther's three-day fast when the death decree of Haman was on the line, the biblical story of Esther, a three-day fast, and suddenly, with the sleepless night of a king, the whole policy shifts. One is raised up, another brought down. Literally, God can do something that changes the whole mindset in a moment of time in response to the fasting and prayers of the saints. But particularly with the 40 days of fasting, 40 days is a biblical number for the shifting of eras. I believe we're in that kind of moment of time, the biblical number of the shifting of eras from a culture of death into a culture of life. We've been at this thing 35 years. Let's not let go to 40. Let's do it now. Now, I think Daniel's fast, David, is a major model, and that is this. He fasted on vegetables and water, basically, for 21 days, and the scriptures pull the curtain back on really what was going on, and an angelic demonic battle was going on, and it was the fasting of the intercessor on earth that was moving the angelic realm which is the true source of divine intervention. He was looking, Daniel was looking for breakthroughs for the captives in Babylon. I believe we are looking for a breakthrough from the captives, the unborn, and mothers that have been under the chain and slavery of abortion. And it's a spiritual battle. It's not just a natural battle. We can only go so far with politics. We must fight this thing in the heavens. And I think we're in an intense moment at a Daniel kind of fast or a water fast, not something just light. Literally, when Daniel set his face, archangels warred over the answer to his prayers. I believe that we're in such a moment. And David, we're calling, literally through God TV, we're calling intercessory the globe to intercession. We could have a million people joining us on this 40 days of fasting. I believe it's a battle, a spiritual warfare, and I believe it could tip the scales, turn the tide to the elections. It could turn the tide to ideology shifts. We're in such a moment. And David, you are at the forefront of this thing, and I could not be more encouraged that now I am not alone. You've got armies of people fasting 40 days with me, and I'm believing God for a breakthrough. Maybe I could just end my little moment with this, that I did in 2002, went on a 40-day fast. I was led to go on, almost all of it was on water, and I was praying for California, and on the 31st day of that fast, I had a dream breakthrough. I knew that God had broken something over California. Right after the call, the massive gathering of fasting and prayer in San Francisco, the governor of California was removed from office. He was passing every abortion bill and every other kind of bill that was liberal and wrong. He was removed from office. I believe the angelic realm got involved with the prayers of the saints and shook the throne of an Ahab in California. Soon after that, I was also, through a series of events, I ended up confronting the mayor of San Francisco and calling him to accountability into his rule in office. To me, it was a sign, and it was just a forerunner of the great fast that we're entering into now, that literally I think the whole nation's going to be doing it, the whole Southern Baptist denomination. We could be in a day for the ending of abortion and a great outpouring of the Spirit, and it is fasting that is the master key to unlocking the realm of the impossible. Mm-hmm. So, David, that's where I stand, and I couldn't be happier joining with you in your great battle.
Well, Lou, I just thank you, because so much of this goes back to my reading of a book several years ago called Shaping History Through Prayer and Fasting, and the introduction to that book was written by none other than you, Lou Engel. And when I read that, it unleashed for me the potential of fasting. And I was raised in a Christian tradition that really didn't emphasize fasting whatsoever. My wife was raised Catholic, and so, of course, there were times in her life, particularly during the Lenten season, when she had fasted. But when I came to realize that Scripture tells us there are some demons that can only be driven out through prayer and fasting, that was when it hit me how important this was. And that's why it's been such an integral part of 40 Days for Life. And as you mentioned, there are going to be so many people this fall joining this call to pray and fast. And among those, we learned that the Southern Baptist Convention is calling upon all of its members all across the nation and around the world to join in the September 24th to November 2nd season of prayer and fasting. And, of course, The Call and Bound for Life and other organizations are putting this call out to hundreds of thousands, perhaps millions of people that will be joining in this. And my last question, Lou, before you go, is when you look at the state of North Dakota, where the faithful people there over the years have shut down every single abortion clinic through prayer, except this last remaining abortion facility that will be the focus of the 40 Days for Life campaign, how important do you think prayer and fasting is to that, winning that victory and making state abortion free?
David?
Yes.
Sorry, I lost you a little bit, but you were talking about shaping history to prayer and fasting.
Yes. And my question was, with the state of North Dakota having one remaining abortion facility and so many hundreds of thousands, perhaps millions, praying and fasting together during these 40 days, how important do you think that prayer and fasting is to winning the victory in North Dakota and helping them to become an abortion-free state?
Well, I think that with fasting, it's interesting. In the book of Esther, you see, what happened was the king had a sleepless night, and he read the document, found out that Mordecai had saved his life. It was a sleepless night out of the fasting and prayer of the king that literally opened the door to a change. Something could happen even with the abortion clinic. The doctor gets a dream. Something could take place in a natural realm that will be a sign, and literally it will fuel the voting of a people group. We don't know, but God's gone over the whole picture. He's simply looking for a prayer that matches his heart and his passion. When he finds that, he can unloose the impossible. And so I think that North Dakota may lead this whole nation through this fast. A sudden shift here, a sudden change there, and literally the breakthrough comes out of North Dakota, and the rest is history for America. I don't know how it's going to happen, but I believe in the God of miracles, and I know the people from North Dakota believe it too.
Amen. Well, Lou, thank you so much. I appreciate you taking the time to be with us tonight. I know things are getting really crazy as you're gearing up for another massive stadium event out at Qualcomm Stadium in San Diego, and we're praying for you, and we're so proud to be running with you and excited to see what God has in store for our nation this fall. So thanks for being with
David,
us.
Thank you, David, and just keep me informed on what's going on with 40 Days for Life, okay?
Will do. God bless you.
Love you, man.
Let's hear how this whole thing came to North Dakota. 40 Days for Life. How did it get started in North Dakota? What's happened in the state thus far? And what's planned for this fall? And no one better to report that than the state director for 40 Days for Life, Colleen Sampson. So, Colleen, tell us how it all got started in North Dakota and how it's gotten to where we are today.
Well, David, the 40 Days for Life campaign began last fall after we first read about it in the National Catholic Register. But actually, 20 years before that, in the mid-1980s, a lady named Penny Lee from Florida came into our state and shared this Bible verse with us from 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people, who are called by my name, will humble themselves, pray and seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. So, and she continued to tell us that God has called you, North Dakota, to be the first abortion-free state in the nation. And consequently, she led us in three Jericho marches around the three abortion facilities in our state, all of which have closed. But one of the directors from the Fargo facility moved to a different location and started a new abortion facility. And so, David, for the last 20 years, people from the state of North Dakota have been fasting and praying and actively promoting life-affirming alternatives to abortion, but all the while hoping that abortion would be gone from our state. So when the 40 Days for Life was presented as another avenue to promote life in our state with that three powerful, simple components.
Hey, Coyne, can you hold on 1 second? Somebody who is one of the presenters, I think you've got the receiver up too close to your mouth, and we can hear the heavy breathing. And if you can just either move the phone away from your mouth, or if you need to mute your line, you can push *6 to mute your line, and then when you come back on, push *6 to unmute yourself so we can make sure we can hear what Colleen is saying. Go ahead, Colleen.
Okay. When the 40 Days for Life was presented as another avenue to promote life in our state, with the three powerful but simple components, we believe that through prayer and the confirmation of our husbands and our Crisis Pregnancy Center board and our pastors and our bishop, God was telling us it was his desire to go ahead with this campaign. So what he did, God put together a committee of people, handpicked by himself, to plan the means by which we could end abortion in North Dakota. But doing so, David, under the umbrella and much appreciated leadership of the National 40 Days for Life Committee. A pro-life website was modified to become our 40 Days for Life North Dakota website. Information was shared with the public through brochures and flyers and the media, also through radio, newspaper, TV, as well as in the churches, youth organizations, individuals, the Casey's, and really, David, to anyone that would listen to us. We told them the story, and we said, jump aboard with us if you would. Well, so what happened after the fall campaign? These were the fruits of that campaign. Number one, we had 40 straight days of prayer and fasting and nonstop vigil outside the abortion facility. Number two, the outpouring of people was amazing. The young and the old alike jumped aboard, and this included many students from our high schools and colleges. Number three, Two babies were saved, one on the first day, so you can imagine the encouragement that was for us. Number four, the abortion facility was closed two separate weeks. Number five, over 30,000 flyers were delivered door-to-door and throughout our state. And our own hearts were aflame. There was a new fire in our hearts as we began to do something new in our land that was peaceful and prayerful and something that could make a difference with abortion. People of all faiths and from various locations in different states joined together on the sidewalk with us as we shared the unified desire to end abortion in this state. And finally, David, you encouraged us and motivated us by having a pro-life rally outside our only abortion facility, and the people that attended were so moved and motivated that they wanted to keep on going. Consequently, we couldn't stop. After more prayer and individual confirmations, we decided to go an additional 10 days, which to us represented Pentecost. And during that time, another life was saved, so we knew God was hearing our prayers. So again, we had to decide, following our own little Pentecost, what we should do. Continue on, or should we stop? 40 hours a week for life was what God wanted us to do next. So since last November, people have been praying outside the abortion facility. And also some other exciting things that happened during that time. We began a One Call Now program that notifies people on the days abortions are being done so they can join us outside the abortion mill or pray right where they are. Presently, we have over 300 people that are on our call list and over 100 people on our email notification list. We also know of at least 5 babies that have been saved from abortion this winter. The public awareness of the 40 Days for Life campaign didn't stop. We continue to get the word out that 23 babies on the average are killed each week in Fargo, over 1,200 a year. Also, since 1979, over 47,000 babies have been killed by abortion in North Dakota. Well, when we shared those figures, people's mouths dropped. They couldn't believe this was happening right down the street, right in our state. So this was real a piercing moment, I believe, for our people. And God blessed us with finances and a donation of 3 large billboards in the city of Fargo promoting prayer and fasting to end abortion in our state. So the word was continuing to flow in our land. And now, as we're preparing for the fall campaign, we have ordered 20,000 flyers, and we're distributing them to the church bulletins and elsewhere. And presently, David, they're almost gone. There's probably about 1,000 left. And we've ordered 750 yard signs, and you can see them crop up now on the lawns of our people and our churches. And we've been visiting pastors and priests of all denominations from throughout our state and giving presentations in North Dakota and Minnesota. And also another very positive thing that's been happening is that we were able to give information to the chairman of the Turtle Mountain Chippewa Indian Tribe so he could share that information with other chairmen from the Montana, Minnesota, North Dakota, and South Dakota tribes. And we're praying that our Native American brothers and sisters would also jump on board with us. A sidewalk counseling training seminar was attended by over 40 people, and we were so blessed by that, by our presenters, both Elizabeth and, who was the other one? I can't remember her name right now. Laura was the other one. Elizabeth and Laura, we were so blessed by their presentation. And they're helping us now to be better equipped to minister more effectively to the people outside the abortion facility. Radio ads and spots are being developed to promote the sanctity of human life on the airways. Even ads where post-abortive women are being featured while they share the stories of the regrets they have with their abortion and also the healing and hope that can come from abortion. And our Teens for Life and other Collegiates for Life, as well as our young adults, are jumping on board. They're helping us to deliver things and get the word out even more and attend some of our meetings. They're just aflame. And they're even promoting it, the 40 Days for Life campaign, on their Facebook, which now has 140 members, and also with many of their friends. Once again, we are encouraging our Knights of Columbus to take the night hours or any other men that are willing to come and pray at that time. And we are networking with over 40 contact people from all denominations statewide and Minnesota, as well as key people from various pro-life organizations throughout our state. But most especially, David and our listening audience, We continue to pray and fast and beg our God to forgive us of our sins. Help us turn from all our wicked ways so he can hear from heaven, forgive us our sins, and heal our land from the scourge of abortion.
Wow, Colleen, thank you so very much, and your leadership has been such an inspiration to me and I'm sure to people all across the state of North Dakota, and something that I think speaks volumes about your character and the character of all the people involved in your campaign there. And to hear from some other voices about the impact of 40 Days for Life in North Dakota and why they're excited about this fall campaign, first I wanted to welcome Tom Fryer, who is with the North Dakota Family Alliance. And Tom, maybe you could share a few of your thoughts about 40 Days for Life in your state and why you're excited about this fall.
Well, thank you. I really would like to, and I do want to congratulate Colleen and Lauren and the whole committee that have been working so hard on this. They've done a great job. North Dakota Family Alliance, and just personally, I am so pleased to be a part of that effort. Some might know that the North Dakota Family Alliance is a statewide Christian-based organization dealing with all the issues that deal with the family, but we do spend predominantly a great amount of time on the life issue, and that is in the public policy arena. But we are so cognizant of the fact that God is a part of all, whether we are in the legislative process dealing in a political world or talking about the economics of what abortion has done to our land and our people, or the social, or as Colleen had mentioned, the post-abortive women and the hardships that are brought on them. We know that the greatest of all the alternatives that we could possibly venture down that path of is, of course, prayer. And I have to reiterate that it is not the least, it's not the last alternative, even though many times in this, our world, especially the political world, we look for answers that are in the halls of the legislature or in Congress and in other places, but we have to be so cognizant of the fact that our prayer is what can move, not only in this case as we pray and fast in front of this facility, but in all the other arenas whereby this issue of life is so important. You mentioned, David, you mentioned unity. That is one of the areas that we are especially interested in. So many times there are so many folks that have a passion and interest in this issue, and at certain times it seems like we're pulling in different directions, and we need to pray that God would unite us, that we would all pull in the same direction, and that is to protect the life of those little unborn boys and girls, as well as bring healing to the women and even the men and the families. Lastly, I just really believe that there are really two things that need to be the criteria for not only this effort of praying and fasting in front of that abortion facility, but in the overall getting down on our knees and praying to God. And one is that we truly believe that abortion must end. There is no black or white. It is black and white. There is no gray area. We just need to truly believe that. And then, of course, if we are going to search our souls and ask God for his intervention, we do truly need to believe what we really believe, and that is that Jesus Christ is who he said he was, that he is the Son of God, that he is the Son of our sovereign God, and that's the sovereign God that only has the power and authority to heal our land and to deal with this issue. And we cannot place our trust in our own power and in our own will. We do need to get down on our knees and just pray that God would hear his humble servants as we come before him. And that's why the message that I have on behalf of the Family Alliance, even though we work in the public policy arena many times, is that the best and the greatest alternative that we can choose to deal with the issue of life is prayer. is falling on our face before God and asking that His will would be done. And that's our prayer today and tonight. And we just will be a part of the 40 Days for Life and coming in the upcoming legislative session as we review what takes place in South Dakota and so many other places where there are so many people working to protect the lives of those unborn. So just thank you for allowing me to take a few minutes. And God bless everyone.
All right, Tom, thank you, and God bless you and the work of North Dakota Family Alliance. I so appreciate your important work and for joining hands with 40 Days for Life. It is so inspiring to see the unity, and the body of Christ, though made up of many parts, can all still be one body, and you are a truly living witness to that. The next person I wanted to hear from and share with you is Yana Mirda, who is the State Director of Concerned Women for America of North Dakota. And Yana, I was wondering from your perspective what you think about the impact of 40 Days for Life and what you're excited about related to this fall's campaign.
Well, thank you, David. The impact is absolutely enormous. I agree with Lou Engel that went earlier. This is a pivotal time in our nation. I think there's a battle for the soul of our nation that we're all watching right now. And I think North Dakota, as insignificant as we may be, along with Alaska and other states, I think God has just treasured choosing insignificant to confound the wise. So I just want to echo our vision and our hope that and our proclamation that North Dakota shall and will be the first abortion-free state. You know, I was listening to this number earlier, David, 47,000 children, and I would challenge anybody who's listening or anybody who will listen to this to sit down and write down 47,000 names. It would almost be impossible, and that's not even that's a huge number in North Dakota, and when you look at it nationally with 50 million, it's just shocking. We should have almost a civil war over this. But after 35 years, what 40 Days for Life has done in North Dakota is stir up the grassroots. I think a lot of citizens in North Dakota, probably the majority, vast majority, are pro-life. But what 40 Days for Life does is now you can do pro-life. And that's the difference to me. I think as we travel and speak in churches, I think the big giant that abortion has become in our nation has been a giant that is scary. And I think we have a lot of people, a lot of us sitting on the sidelines going, I'm not educated, I don't know if I'm called, I don't know what to do. 40 Days for Life has kind of broken through that ceiling and said, yes, there is something you can do that's very tangible. You can grab a hold of prayer. You can grab a hold of fasting. And you can come and join us standing outside there, come snow or rain or shine in Fargo. And so that's one of the things. The other side of that, though, is the challenge that there's no longer an excuse not to do pro-life in North Dakota. Only to be pro-life is no longer enough. Only to sit at home, and I know that sounds challenging and negative, but it isn't. It actually is a great opportunity to actually be pro-life and then do pro-life, whether it's praying through getting the phone tree call. I've heard the phone call has literally stopped people at work or in their cars to start praying all across our state, as Colleen and the guys down there are notifying those of us who can't get there as often as we would like to stop right now and pray. And I know also the Catholic radio station in Fargo there has a moment of where it breaks into the regular programming and say we have an emergency. There's abortions going on, which I think is a fantastic thing. So those are the two things, and I do really truly believe that we cannot tire. I think some of us might be tired after 35 years, but we don't have the option to tire, and that's what we're saying here in North Dakota. So I'm not going to take too much more time. I'm just going to say for anybody who's listening, you know, it is time, like somebody said earlier, I don't know if it was Sean or you, David, to come out of your churches and out of your Bible studies and out of your ladies' groups and spend that time in prayer and fasting. And if you can get to Fargo, even better so. This is a challenge that I think as Christians cannot be ignored in North Dakota, and I sure want to be one that's part of the history that's going to be made here in North Dakota when we break that first hole in the dike and flood the water of life onto the rest of the lower 48 in Alaska and Hawaii. So I'm thrilled to be a part of it. And I also want to commend Colleen Sampson. She is the one true pro-life leader in North Dakota, and I just want to thank her for her work and her sacrifice, and it's an absolute joy to stand by her side in this ministry that she's taken on.
Yana, thank you so much. And one of the things that inspires me about you and Tom and so many of the other people that we've heard from tonight and we'll be hearing from in other future communications, you don't just tell people to go do something that you're not willing to do yourself. And in fact, when I was looking through some of the pictures that Colleen and the team sent me from the vigil out in Fargo, and I was looking at all the people standing out there, and some of them were bundled up in big heavy coats in the cold at the end of the 40 Days for Life, and it looked like it was wet and rainy, and one of the people standing right there on the front line in front of that last abortion facility was you, Yana, and I was so proud of you. And I just want to tell you, thank you for leading by example. You are truly an inspiration to me and to many, many other people. And speaking of inspirations, let's shift the focus to yet another incredible leader right there, homegrown, a leader that lives in the state of North Dakota, and that is the Catholic Bishop of the Diocese of Fargo, Bishop Samuel Aquila. And Bishop Aquila has been a steadfast supporter and promoter of 40 Days for Life. He was unable due to a schedule conflict to join us live on the call tonight, and similar to Father Frank Pavone, he said, I've got to record something, and so we recorded a segment earlier, and I'd like to play that for you right now.
40 Days for Life is a wonderful opportunity for people of goodwill and Christians of various denominations to come together to stand for the gift and dignity of human life, and most especially the dignity of the unborn child. One of the important things for us within North Dakota is to realize that we are a very pro-life state, and we need to make that even more clear by our witness to the gift of human life and the dignity of the unborn child. One of the ways that we are able to do that is through the 40 Days for Life, in which we give public witness to our belief that life begins at the moment of conception. This belief is something that we know from reason and science, in addition to our faith, which enhances that truth. Every human life begins at the moment of conception. With that, we as a people need to stand for the gift of life. We have only one abortion clinic left in the state of North Dakota, and it would be wonderful for us to become the first state that is abortion-free. We as a people are called to build a culture of life, and the way that we can do that is through our prayer and fasting and public witness to life. Prayer for others is a very important part of our Christian faith, and one in which we are called to by our Lord. Jesus has taught us to pray for others and to hold others up to God. And as Christians, we must be people who petition through prayer for the conversion of others and to pray for their change of heart. And also our fasting demonstrates our deep desire and hunger for people to come to know the dignity of human life, and also our desire for the change of hearts of those who are pro-abortion or who promote abortion as a so-called right. We must pray for the doctors who perform abortions, and also for women who obtain abortions, for their change of heart, and then also their inner healing. And 40 Days for Life helps us to achieve those goals. I want to encourage all of you to continue to support the 40 Days for Life here in North Dakota, as well as throughout the entire United States. It is a wonderful way to witness to the gift of life in a peaceful manner and to pray for the conversion of the hearts of all peoples, that they may come to recognize the dignity of the unborn child and the gift of human life. Thank you.
Wow, what profound words we've heard from so many great leaders, and yet another one we are about to hear from. The next person that you'll be hearing from is one of my many heroes, and I think I have the best job in the entire world because I get to go around the country and I get to hang out with heroic people, and then I get to go elsewhere in the country and I get to tell their stories. And you're about to hear from one of these people, and this gentleman, Matt Lockett, is the executive director of Bound for Life. And many of you are familiar with Bound for Life, the young people that go and pray outside abortion facilities and courthouses and state supreme courts with the red tape across their mouths with the word life, or wearing the red rubber wristband with the word life on it, praying and fasting for our nation. And I first actually met Matt for the first time in person in the other Dakota, in South Dakota, when we were there working on pro-life efforts, and then we've met at the U.S. Supreme Court, at the call event here a few weeks back in Washington, D.C., and in different places around the country. So, Matt, I was wondering if you could just share why, from your perspective as the executive director of Bound for Life, you're excited about 40 Days for Life on a national scale, but also why you're excited about what's happening right here in North Dakota.
Yeah, David, you know, thanks for having me on the call tonight. You know, as I've been traveling around the country, something funny started happening where I would go in and meet or speak with a particular group of people, and more people started making the same comment to me, which was, you really need to meet this guy, David B. Wright. And the myth and the legend began to grow. And the more I traveled, the more I kept hearing it, until finally our paths crossed in Sioux Falls, South Dakota last year, and it's been, I just want to speak to everybody on the call here that it's just been amazing for me to get to know David on a personal level, and I just want to vouch for him and say that this man lives what he preaches. And David, there's a phenomenon that's happening. I want to talk specifically about North Dakota. I am excited about what's happening on a national scale, but there's a phenomenon that's happening that I'm noticing in the region of North Dakota and I think in South Dakota and Minnesota and the like, but particularly in this region, I am hearing more and more people specifically begin to use language like no abortion clinics in our state. I don't know of any other place in the country where people are using this kind of language so prevalently. And I'm encouraged that more and more people are beginning to talk like this, and I can only attribute it to a growing level of faith and a rising level of faith that is occurring in God's people. And that can only happen in an atmosphere where there's prayer. Faith can only grow in that kind of atmosphere, and so I think God is doing something very significant and very special in this region of the country, and I think in particular in North Dakota. You could say, well, you know, we've only got to contend with one clinic. That's not really the issue. It's not about the number of clinics. What I know that it has everything to do with is the level of faith, because the Word says that the prayer of faith makes the sick person well, and I would say this, that the prayer of faith can make the sick state well. And what I'm seeing more and more is people using this kind of faith-charged language in the pro-life movement. Now, David, the reason that I love what you're doing and the reason that I have joined myself to you is what 40 Days for Life has done. I believe it's a gift to the body of Christ because it's become a lightning rod for the entire church to rally to this cause. I believe firmly with all my heart that the abortion issue is a rallying point for the entire church. This is not something to be written off to the extreme right wing any longer. This God is bringing this thing front and center for the entire church to face this and deal with this issue. Now, I hope that doesn't scare anybody because in being a rallying point, it's not exclusive for anyone. This is something I believe for every man, woman, and child to find their place to plug into this cause. And what I'm seeing more often than not all over the country is people that would never have gotten involved in a pro-life protest in the past suddenly prayer is exploding in this area, and they're finding that connection point. They're saying, hey, you know, maybe I wouldn't go out in the past, but now finally I believe I have something I can lay hold of, and it's the place of prayer and fasting. So David, I'm encouraged. I'm excited about what's happening in North Dakota, and I believe that this is what 40 Days for Life has on it, is that it gets to be the lightning rod for the whole church.
Well, Matt, thank you, and I appreciate so much the work that you do. I know I was just on a conference call with you and Lou probably about a week ago, and you were sharing the vision of how you're going to have a team of young people praying 24 hours a day for the 40 days outside of the United States Supreme Court because of the crucial nature of what happened there in 1973 when the justices imposed abortion across America, and time for that to be overturned. And ultimately, for everybody who may or may not be aware of this, when Roe v. Wade is overturned, and I say when, not if, it's a matter of time, it's just a matter of when, it's not a matter of if. When that court case is overturned, what will happen is then abortion will go back to the states. And that is why it is so crucial what's happening right now in North Dakota and other states that are right now doing everything possible to build an army of faithful people praying and fasting and working tirelessly to help protect life. And so let's shift the discussion right now to each of you who are listening right now to the sound of my voice, who have heard from Matt and who have heard from Bishop Aquila and Yana and Tom and Colleen and Lou and Sean and Father Frank and Dave Mata. What can you do? How can you make a life-saving difference? How can you help to ensure that North Dakota does become abortion-free? Well, I'm going to suggest a few very practical things here. And number one is I would encourage you to pray. And obviously you've heard that a lot during this call, is the importance of prayer and the importance of fasting. But even tonight, whether it's right after you hang up the phone, right after you stop listening to the webcast, if you're listening to this as a recording, right after you get done, or even if you want to pause the recording right here and get down on your knees and pray, sometime when it's just you and your Maker and you can really ask God to show you what it is that He wants you to do, ask Him to show you the role that He has for you in this effort. And as He reveals it to you, I just ask that you be faithful and respond with a yes that conveys, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. I would hope that all of you would be willing to commit to pray each of the days from September 24th to November 2nd, and for those who feel led to join in the fasting, as we've heard about from so many of the different speakers. And fasting can take many different forms for different people. For some people, it can be to give up a certain type of food for 40 days or a certain type of drink, or maybe to go on, like Lou was talking about, a Daniel fast, maybe vegetables and water. Or I know that when Sean and Mary Lisa in that first 40 Days for Life, they both went on a bread and water fast with a little bit of nutritional vitamins on the side to make sure that they were supplemented. But they did that for 40 days while they were out at the abortion facility 8 hours a day and going knocking on the doors of 25,000 homes. But for many people, it can be something in between. And it could even be, I remember the one that inspired me, the family that shared with me that they had decided to give up for 40 days television. And they were going to take all the time that they used to put in front of the tube and invest that into pro-life work. And it got me thinking about, what if everybody in Fargo, what if everybody across the state of North Dakota who was a believer in Jesus Christ and who recognized that every life was knit together in the womb, made in God's image and likeness, what if they were just to fast from television for 40 days and invest that time into this 40 Days for Life campaign? What could God do? So pray and fast from September 24th to November 2nd. The next thing is participate in the vigil. I was so inspired as people were calling in at the beginning of this call to hear from Laurel over in Hazen, North Dakota, 4.5 to 5 hours west of Fargo, who was willing to make that trek across the state and come and participate in that vigil. I remember the words of the letter that Bishop Aquila sent out across the Diocese of Fargo and got circulated around the country by media outlets like the National Catholic Register, where he said, I know for some of you, you're thinking that coming across the state to go and participate in this vigil is a big commitment, but keep in mind there are people in your community who are making that drive to have the abortion, and the least we can do is to go there and be there for them to try to offer hope and alternatives to abortion. And so many people have responded to that, people driving for 30 minutes, an hour, 2 hours away. And whatever, if you're in Fargo or you're right in the surrounding areas or if you're on the far west side of the state or you're across the border in Minnesota, make a commitment to participate in this vigil. Now, the place where you can actually right now, either while you're listening to me or if you're listening by telephone, you could do it right after the call. If you go to the 40 Days for Life North Dakota website, and I'm going to tell you that address, it's www.40days.org. 40daysforlifend.com. So that's 40daysforlifend.com. 40daysforlifend.com. When you go to that site, you can right there learn about all the activities of what is happening in the 40 Days for Life campaign in North Dakota. On the right side of that web page, and I'm looking at it right here in front of me on my computer screen, on the right side there is a link about, oh, a little bit of the way down. It looks like there's three links total on the right side, including this one, big, bold, blue, and it says new schedule. Click to register. If you click that link, it will open up a new window on your computer, and it will show the vigil schedule, all of the different days, all of the different hours, and right there online, you can sign up to participate in the vigil. Maybe it's to go out there once a week. Maybe it's to go out there once during the 40 days, but I just want to put a thought out there for you. How many of you listening right now in the past week, 7 days, have worked at least 40 hours in your job? I would bet many of you have. If I could have a show of hands, we'd probably have most of you that worked at least a 40-hour work week in the past week. If you think back over this last week's work, how many of you had the opportunity to save the physical life of somebody at risk of death? How many of you had an opportunity during those 40 hours of work to have an impact on an eternal soul? Maybe some of the pastors on the line, but for everybody else, probably that hasn't been the case. But if you were to commit, let's just look at this from a really crazy perspective. Let's say you were to commit to go 1 hour each day for each of the 40 days of 40 Days for Life. You would have a total commitment of 40 hours, the same as one work week. And through your faithfulness of going and being there as a part of that witness that bears witness to the injustice of what's happening, that sends a message to the people working in the facility that what you're doing is not good for the community and offers hope to those who are at risk of making a decision, by participating during those 40 hours, you could help to save lives like the two that were saved during the last 40 Days for Life. You could help to ensure that that facility closes like it did for 2 weeks during the last 40 Days for Life. You can help them an impact and maybe even have an impact on an eternal soul. And you may say, well, I'm too far away. I can't make it for 40 days in a row. Well, that's great. Come in bigger blocks of time. Maybe come on a Saturday for 4 or 5 or 6 hours, or come on a weekday evening when you can come over. I mean, it's going on 24 hours a day, so that you're welcome at all times. But prayerfully consider how you can participate in the vigil and then make that commitment. If you don't have the ability to access that information online, you can certainly call, and we'll give the phone number to the local 40 Days for Life campaign. That number to dial in and get the information is 701 area code 284-6601. Another way that you can help is to help with the grassroots outreach, and maybe it's going to be distributing flyers door-to-door, as you heard Colleen describe, and as Sean Carney has done in cities across the country and many others have done, and maybe it's to spread the word to friends and family members and fellow believers. Maybe it's to go and sign up for information about 40 Days for Life nationally and to join the daily prayer devotionals, which are put out to the entire nation, written by inspiring leaders like some of the ones you've heard from on the call tonight, clergy and national organization leaders sharing devotionals for each of the 40 days so we can unite our prayer intentions together. And you can sign up for those with your just name and email address at 40daysforlife.com. That's the national 40 Days for Life site, 40daysforlife.com. And one more thing that I really would encourage you to prayerfully consider is recognizing that pulling this off, this is a monumental task that Colleen and her team have put together, and Lauren and Mary and Jody and so many of the others are pouring their hearts into this, but there's only so much they can do with their own personal gifts of time and talent and, yes, treasure. And if God is touching your heart to help invest financially to ensure that the Fargo and the North Dakota 40 Days for Life campaign is a great success, then I would encourage you on the 40daysforlifend.com website to click the link that says at the top of the page that says About Us. When you click that link, it will give you the contact information where you can send donations. They are tax deductible because they go through the Pregnancy Help Center in Park River, North Dakota. Or you can call or send an email to find out how you can support these efforts. Maybe it's a financial gift, a one-time gift. Maybe it's to get them some of the supplies that they need. But they didn't ask me to do this, but I just really feel in my heart that if God is touching you to invest in this effort, yes, your time and yes, your talent, but also your treasure, then you can help to ensure that this campaign is one that really has an impact across North Dakota for generations to come. So those are the things I would encourage you to think about or how you can participate. Ask God to show you and say yes as he reveals it to you. Pray and fast from September 24th to November 2nd. join in the vigil by signing up online or by calling the phone number 701-284-6601. Join in the grassroots outreach and as God leads you to help financially support this effort. And when you do this, I believe your efforts, your faithfulness will have a tremendous impact that literally will be able to be felt not only across Fargo and North Dakota, but across the entire nation. On the 40daysforlifend.com website, they actually have posted a video that I put together along with our national team, and it was when Sean Carney and I were out in Fargo on our most recent trip, and we filmed interviews with the team members and some of the volunteers and some of the different state leaders that were at that event, and we put that together as a video that has been shared with people all across the nation as a case study of what a successful 40 Days for Life looks like. That video of what is happening in your state has inspired people in all 50 states across the nation and in countries around the globe. Thousands upon thousands of people have watched that video. If you haven't seen it, carve out 39 minutes tonight or tomorrow to watch it. I think you will be touched by it. But also think about the potential that what you're doing has as a platform to share the life-saving impact with the rest of the entire world. Now, we've had a few questions come in during the call, and I wanted to be able to address a few of these before we have a closing prayer and wrap up for the evening. Let me address a few of the questions that have come in. And first off, Father Charles in Fargo, North Dakota, who we'll be hearing from in just a moment with a closing prayer, he asks, what can we do in our community after the 40 days is over? Great question, Father Charles. And I would say the main thing is to keep the momentum alive. You are going to inspire a grassroots mobilization like has never been seen in Fargo and across North Dakota this fall. I truly believe that. But on day 40, when that ends on November 2nd, you cannot let that momentum die. And it's crucial for people to continue to certainly pray and fast, but also to continue to go and be a witness at that abortion facility and to become trained as sidewalk counselors, lovingly reaching out and offering alternatives to those at risk of having an abortion at that facility, continuing to educate the community through advocacy and through grassroots outreach, engaging the media, speaking out in churches and schools and in public forums. So it is critical that 40 Days for Life be a beginning and not an end. What you do during these 40 Days for Life will set the stage for the long-term commitment, which is sometimes the more challenging commitment, but ultimately it's through that long-term faithfulness that I believe that last facility will close and your state will become truly abortion-free. So that's a great question. I thank you for submitting it. Lily in Fargo asks, how do you know the abortion clinic was closed for 2 weeks? Well, Lily, the answer is because the people were praying out there for 24 hours a day for the entire 40 days, and the clinic did not open for those 2 weeks. And I was so incredibly encouraged by that. As Colleen mentioned, they know of two babies that were born, that have been born and are alive as a result of the 40 Days for Life. But just by that facility being closed for 2 weeks, who knows how many other people might have been scheduled for abortions or might have had a change of heart and not had an abortion because the facility was closed. So the impact may have been much greater than what any of us know. And again, when you are there as a faithful witness, it truly does make a tremendous impact. Angela sent in a comment from, I'm probably going to butcher the pronunciation, Angela, please forgive me, Lemoore, North Dakota, L-A, capital M-O-U-R-E. And she says, checking in from the southeastern part of North Dakota. I'm listening on the web. I live 2 hours away from Fargo, so my trips to Fargo are not often. Last year, unexpectedly, a friend invited me to drive to Fargo with her for an appointment, and while there, we were able to pray in front of the abortion facility in Fargo while they were performing abortions during 40 Days for Life. It was quite a life-changing experience for me. I've prayed for years for an end to abortion, but this day really left an impact on me as I witnessed a classroom worth of children disappear that day. Around 20 lives were lost. I had hoped in my heart that when we got to Fargo, we would have the opportunity to be present from 3 to 4 p.m. during the Divine Mercy Hour. After the rosaries, God would have it, I was able to lead the entire group of people in the Divine Mercy Chaplet for almost an hour nonstop. We know this death chamber will be closed by the power of God. I thank God for you, David. Angela, thank you. It's truly through your faithfulness that all of this is happening. So that is the last question that I had. Let me refresh this one more time to make sure there weren't any other questions that came in. Pat in Fargo also asks, how many people are on this telewebcast? Well, Pat, we don't know that number yet. We will get a report after the call and webcast are done to give us an idea, but we know we had people register from all corners of the state of North Dakota and some people from across the border in Minnesota. And here's something that's really exciting to think about. This entire call we're listening to right now, if you've been touched, if you've been inspired, this entire event is being recorded, audio recording. right after the call is completed tonight, we're going to get that recording converted to an MP3 file and put it on the 40daysforlifend.com website, where you can listen to it again if you missed part of it or if you just want to go back and hear the inspiration one more time, but also a way that you can tell other people about what's happening in the Fargo and North Dakota 40 Days for Life is by encouraging them to go to the 40daysforlife.com ND website, listen to the recording, and then they can be inspired as well. So regardless of how many people are on this call live, we don't know, many people from across the state, but it can reach many, many more people if each of us who are right now on this call or listening to this event via the webcast is willing to tell 5, 10, 15, 20 people, email it to your entire list of friends and say, go listen to the recording. So we will be sending you a link once that recording is posted, and keep checking the 40 Days for Life ND.com website, and you can find out about that. So with that, let's go ahead and wrap this up. We have talked about an awful lot tonight. We've talked about why 2008 is a crucial year, why North Dakota has such strategic significance, why 40 Days for Life is a powerful solution. You've learned a little bit about the history of 40 Days for Life, how it began in prayer, how it's begun to spread around the nation, and how what's happening in North Dakota is really setting the stage for many things around the nation and is serving as an example to the rest of the country. You heard from Lou Engel about God's holy prescription for a time of crisis and the importance of fasting as a part of our efforts and why he's excited about 40 Days for Life in North Dakota. You heard from Colleen talking about how this effort started in North Dakota, the impact it's had thus far, realizing that this is only the beginning as you gear up from September 24th to November 2nd for the next statewide campaign. Tom Fryer talked about the impact of 40 Days for Life in North Dakota, and Yana Mirda from Concerned Women for America talked about why she's excited about this fall's campaign. We heard from Bishop Samuel Aquila about the dignity of human life and why 40 Days for Life is a great vehicle to talk about that, and Matt Lockett shared with us why he's excited about 40 Days for Life and the impact of what is happening right now in the region, including North Dakota. I hope that you prayerfully consider all the things that have been discussed tonight, and I hope you make commitments to take this effort to a whole new level that will have an impact on future generations, because each of us are going to have a day in the distant future, or maybe in the not-too-distant future, when our children or grandchildren are going to come to us with their history books open, and they're going to be on the page at the end of the chapter in the history book about abortion, and it's going to be the page that talks about how abortion was ultimately ended in our nation. They're going to read about all the terrible things that happened, the 50 million lives that were lost, the millions of women that were wounded, and they're going to get to that last section talking about the year of 2008, that year that was the beginning of the end of abortion, when there was the amazing breakthroughs happening throughout the land that ultimately brought an end to this tragic injustice. And they're going to look at you, and they're going to look at me, and they're going to say, Mom, Dad, Grandma, Grandpa, what were you doing at that crucial moment in history? Are we going to say, well, I was really busy, you know, I was involved in all these volunteer activities, I had a bowling league, and, you know, I was didn't have any money to support local pro-life efforts because, you know, I had to get a good cup of expensive coffee in the morning, and besides, I, you know, had to pay for that DirecTV to get all those good reality shows that I was watching at night. Are they going to hear excuses like that? I don't believe they are. I believe by your presence on this teleconference, this webcast tonight, or you're listening to this recording, I believe that God has a unique and special role for you in this 40 Days for Life campaign in the fall of 2008 to shape history. And when you share what you did on the front lines with your children and grandchildren, you're going to see the tears form in their eyes, and you're going to see them just puff up with pride as they say, Mom, Dad, Grandma, Grandpa, I am so proud of you, because while everybody else was off busy doing their own thing, you were doing the right thing. Let's go forward. Let's press on. Let's finish the job that God has begun in North Dakota. Let's make your state the first abortion-free state in America. And let's look forward to the day when each of us will eventually arrive in our heavenly home, we'll meet our Maker, and we'll hear those beautiful words, well done, good and faithful servant. To lead us in closing prayer, let me introduce Father Charles LaCroix from Shanley High School. And Father Charles, if you can lead us in prayer to wrap up our discussion for the evening.
Thank you, David. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Dear God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, we thank you and we praise you for this gift called 40 Days for Life. We, of course, do not deserve this gift, but in your mercy, you offer it to us. We believe that this movement is your Holy Spirit at work. We know it to be a window of spiritual opportunity that you are giving our state, our nation, our world. Please help us to recognize this hour of our visitation. Inspire us to put our faith into action. Let your providential hand be on all the cities across our land that will be conducting 40 Days for Life campaigns. Prepare the way even now. Send your holy angels to pave the way for that grace of yours. Sustain us with that grace. Help us to persevere till every life is regarded as precious, unique, and unrepeatable. May your kingdom come. May your will be done. May babies be saved and hearts be changed. For the sake of your Son's sorrowful passion, Father, have mercy on us and on the whole world. We make all these prayers in the name of your Son Jesus, our Lord and King, forever and ever. And may the blessing of Almighty God, the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit come upon you all and remain with you forever. Amen.
Father Charles, thank you. Thank you to all the other presenters, and thanks to each of you who have taken the time to be with us here tonight. God bless you, God bless North Dakota, and God bless the United States of America. Let's go finish this job. Let's end abortion. Let's make 2008 that crucial year. Good night, everybody. Bye-bye.
Good night.
Praise the Lord.